Yeah. I wanna ball like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, showing shots for the team. I was in high school dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring. I wanna ball like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, she was shot for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring.
Hey guys, welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Trey Halliburton, and joins me on the other line. He's a dope guy who talks a lot about sports and hip hop and everything in between. Right now, he might be the public enemy number one of DC Sports Radio. My guy, Mr. Fim O'Shin. How you doing today, Fim?
I'm doing great. I can't complain. I'm doing great. did not know I was public enemy number one of DC Sports, but, you know, you can take the heat, which I've been taking for the past few days. It's been surprisingly how so many fans can just support or just say we hate 106.7 the Fan. I can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess since we're diving right into that, I want to get into so basically you had this tweet over the weekend where you said Redskins fans should stop listening to 106.7 the Fan. Nothing there is informative, and it's a bunch of biased attacks on each player, especially athletes of color. And so, you know, this tweet that you had, it reached a little bit mini viral status. It got about 500 likes, and I think that the biggest thing was the fact that it got the attention of people at 106.7, the radio station, and they're responding to you. They're in your mentions. Saying that you have baseless claims. Grant Paulson says, "What a reckless, terrible blanket statement and accusation to make about people you don't know. All the best to you. Have a great day." And it's just like I direct messaged you, Sunday evening, and with the intention of talking about this topic because I think that this is a topic that I consider myself to be well versed in and very adequate to address. Is the fact that a lot of the people from 106.7, and this is nothing against those people, and it's not to make a blanket statement against everybody who works at the station. That's not I don't think that's what you did with your statement here. It really was, to me, it was pointing out a discrepancy between the way that, you know, certain athletes, especially athletes are of color, are covered by members of that radio station. And so when you look at, you know, the some of the things that, you know, the shock jocks there, they say about, I think this all started over some Dwayne Haskins tweets. And, you know, Haskins, he kind of just got fed up. And so he ended up blocking Chris Lindenberg. And, you know, he had a sarcastic response by saying, oh, you know, say less. But first of all, I want to address that aspect of it. It's like, yo, there are a lot of people who are not of the culture. Like, I'm sure that he doesn't go around just saying say less all the time. But it's just like when you're on Twitter, it's very cool to, you know, speak in a certain lingo because, you know, that's just how a lot of Twitter speak goes. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But really what I'm concerned about is the fact that, you know, that Chris and Grant Paulson and the Rooster, Chris Russell, like, these guys are coming back to you. They're attacking you in a way that it's misinformed, because instead of them actually listening to you and all of these replies and all of these retweets and all of these likes of people of color, DC sports fans who see the same exact thing that you're saying. Like, and this is something I told you before we even started talking. Like, we didn't have a big meeting. A black people meeting talk about this, and we say, "Oh yeah, we're gonna address this." Like, no, you said something, and a lot of people just happen to agree with that. And so instead of them like taking the onus to kind of look within themselves and see about, you know, some of how they're covering athletes of color in this area, they use this as a time to, you know, attack you and to, you know, send their minions to attack you. So I just wanted to give you this space right here, this platform, to kind of explain your stance, exactly what it is you meant by your original statement, and what do you think that, you know, that some of these radio hosts from 106.7 The Fan are missing about their coverage when it comes to athletes of color in the DMV?
One thing I could say is when I saw, like, my mentions at first, I saw people that were agreeing with me saying they've been tired, it's been years, they've been doing the stick for years. So how I originated the tweet, I just saw the 106.7 post, 106.7 The Fan post, and it's like a basic discussion about Haskins. They said about his immaturity. They're still talking about that freaking selfie during that Lions game for, like, November. It's been, like, 6 months. I don't know why he's still talking about it. Like, why are you still putting that on that kid for just taking a selfie with a fan? Like, and they're calling it immature, all that. So I just saw, like, not going to care about it, not going to say anything. I saw, like, Chris Lynchburg's tweet, that I'm saying his right, hope I'm saying his name right, him getting blocked by Haskins, and he just said, say less. I kind of, like, I was like, why would you tweet that? And I just tweeted out just saying, I'm 106.7 The Fan. You know, they've been doing this for, like, the past decade, just having these bias reporting on players of color. And I did not know that it will be this, like, mini viral until, like, that, like, the next day, that Saturday. So that's how my mentions start blowing up. That's how, like, the flag avies, the dudes with the shades just come at mentions saying, I'm racist, I'm that. Like, I never called them racist. And instead, they just report bias. Like, why are you calling me racist for just saying my own opinion off of that? I was surprised that Grant and Chris mentioned me, calling me, saying that these bias attacks about me, like, even Chris Russell, I was actually laughing when he said that. I condemn Grant Paulson for his response against these accusations that Olaf Demirel made. And that dude blocked me, like, a second later, so, and I feel like the streets were dumb because now, like, I'm posted, like, Chris Russell's a big reporter in this area, so it means, like, more people going to come in my mentions, all that. But, you know, but those flag abby people that came on mentions and tagged me, there was, like, majority of Redskins fans that said, like, hey, you're right, we support you. They have balls to say that. I mean, it's been like that for the past decade. I feel like as for the station 106.7 The Fan, you just had to do better with the reporting on athletes in this region. You know, that's just it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And so, you know, I think that Dwayne Haskins is the new poster child for, you know, them to, you know, hit the dog whistles. But you know, that used to be John Wall, though. Like, John Wall,
yeah,
you know, when he first got here, like, you know, there used to be a lot of, you know, tweets about, you know, John Wall and his dancing and you know, him throwing up different signs when he's playing or Wall going out too much. Like, there's been a lot of conversations.
And that kind of hits me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
That kind of hits me hard because if you know John Wall and his story, like, his story is just really amazing. What he's been through, losing his father at a young age, raised by a single mother, you know, him getting in trouble throughout his whole youth. And it's him, like, using basketball as a way to get out of the hood, get out of his whole environment, to play Kentucky, be a first overall pick in the draft. Like, his story is amazing. But I don't know how I can say this. I feel like he's the most underappreciated superstar that he had in this city in the past, like, 20 years. Maybe in this decade, this century alone. Because when we talk about, like, DC sports stars, you talk about, like, Bryce Harper. I mean, Bryce Harper was loved here, but he left. He didn't care about the city. But he wanted a new contract. Alex Ovechkin, I could say, yeah, because he won the Stanley Cup, but at the same time, like, most black youth don't watch hockey, unfortunately. So they don't, like, resonate with Alex Ovechkin. They don't know anything about him. They just know he's a good hockey player. You know, that's just it. But with Wall, like, he does a lot of great stuff on the court and off the court. Like, he's big in community, you know. having his wall, having his foundations, all that. And, like, I just feel that the DC media doesn't even know him yet. Like, and especially 167 The Fan, like, every time I always listen to their radio, like, their segments on Wall Wizards, just, they don't even watch their games at all. Like, they don't care. And that's just disappointing. And it's been like that for, like, the past few years that I think, like, people always look at the Wizards as an afterthought because of Wall. The Wall was, like, maybe playing, like a best, like, a top five NBA player, like, during his prime. But they don't care. But instead, it would, like, use, like, negative news, like, Wall, like, throwing hundreds at strip clubs or, you know, him getting fights with Quincy AC, the, what was it, Death Row DC. They used that negative energy and just put it in their segments, which is pretty stupid.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that it really shows that, you know, that there's a disconnect between, you know, the people who are reporting and covering the athletes and, you know, the athletes themselves. And so, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of that has to do with a lack of diversity within, you know, the coverage. And that's not, you know, just a shot at 106.7 The Fan. Like, this is, like, you know, across the board for a lot of outlets in the D.C. area, like, that don't really have people on their staff who are able to communicate with the athletes that they're covering. And so then you get issues like that, like in the past where you've had, you know, issues with, you know, people covering John Wall. And you know, it seems like the same thing is just recycling around with how they're treating Dwayne Haskins. And so, you know, I'm glad that you, you know, were able to, you know, speak your piece and get that opinion out there. And I'm even more proud to, you know, like I said, to support that, because honestly, like, there's something to be said about the fact that, you know, that, you know, Chris Russell and Grant Paulson, these people, they're responding. And instead of them, you know, listening to the very fair criticism that is coming from not only you, but a good portion of the fan base, you know, they use that and try to spin that and attack you and attack, you know, the things that you're saying and putting words in your mouth. Like you said, you never once used the word
racist
in your tweet,
yeah.
Racist or race at all. Like,
yeah.
And so, yeah, like, it's like they know what you're talking about because they know what they're doing. So, you know, it's just a very interesting thing. And I think that, you know, it's something that needed to be addressed. But, you know, we since we're going through this whole, you know, crazy pandemic time, I want to try to keep it at least a little bit more light and a little bit more positive. I wanted to talk to you about the NBA season and what do you think will ultimately happen with the conclusion of the NBA season? Like, do you think that they're going to come back and play some regular season games, or do you think they're going to come back and go right into the playoffs? Or do you think that this whole thing might just be done and over? Like, what are your thoughts on that, Ben?
So I have two options, my two answers. I think the first will be just starting the season into the playoffs. I can't see, like, the NBA playing out a full season. Like, it said, like, there's, like, some reports say, like, it could start in June and it could carry out, like, May. Then the season will carry out until, like, late July, late June, which kind of just, I don't know, it's just packing a lot of games into, like, 3 months, which I feel for the players, it would be tough to just get back to their grind, and start playing. And I think maybe the two best options for NBA right now is to just cancel the season or just starting the playoffs. I feel if canceling the season, you can just forget it, and just try give the players as much needed rest so they can be ready for the next season. But I don't think the next season will start until like December because of the whole pandemic we're in right now. And this would be also a great time for like the draft to start at a regular time, like in June. Summer league can maybe even be played out during September as well. So you have, like, much room to just get ready for next season. Just forget what happened this season. Because I feel like there's been five NBA players that tested for the virus. And I don't think they will risk – those players will risk, like, playing the court again, even catching again, because we don't even know if they're immune to the disease, to the virus or not. But as for the FA is starting the playoffs. Talk about starting the playoffs. As for starting the playoffs, I think that would be the best option at this point. I mean, just forget about the regular season. You don't know who's going to be in the playoffs. Lakers, Grizzlies, Clippers, Thunder, Celtics, all those teams. Just give them, just put them like in a usual spot like Las Vegas, Seattle, not Seattle, not bad. Washington's the hot spot. But just put them like in the neutral site where you can just finish out the whole season and just start from there. But I think the best option right for the NBA is just to just kill this whole season. Like, it's been, I've been thinking about it for the past few weeks, and unfortunately, like, I heard about Carl Anthony Towns' mother passing away from the virus. Lots of prayers go out to him and his family. I just think, like, it would be, like, kind of tone deaf for NBA to just push the season with all this going on. They just need to get ready for the next season to start on December 25th. Hopefully, we have, like, a vaccine, like, some type of medicine that can prevent us from, that could, like, slow this virus down. Just try and get ready for next season. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, I think that I'm with you. If it were up to me, I would probably cancel the season. I think that, you know, with when you look at these other leagues across the world, like, you know, in China and in Japan and, you know, all these different places that, you know, had the impact of the virus before the United States did. You know, a lot of those places, they've tried to, you know, get the games and stuff back started up, and they haven't been able to successfully do that. And so I think that that's just a sign of just, you know, first of all, I mean, these are very serious times. Like, the severity of this virus and, like, the fact that, like, literally everybody in the country is on a lockdown right now. Like, it's going to be hard to just go from that into, you know, like, playing basketball games for entertainment. And it's something, shout out to my guy, M. Grads on Twitter. He just tweeted out something I thought was very funny. He said, sources say that NBA players don't want to put their lives at risk because you're bored at home.
That's like, very true. And I think, like, that's what I'm seeing from a lot of fans. Like, meaning, the sports not happen, like, sports, it happens 24/7, 365. The sports not happening. Everyone is bored. Everyone is, like, tired of watching, like, all these ESPN classic games. Like, people just want, like, live sports back, which I get. But I don't think, like, with fans, what fans don't get is that players are humans, too. Like, they're putting, like, their bodies online at risk for your entertainment every single night. I think you obviously heard about, like, WWE being, like, an essential business now in Florida, you know, which I don't get, because not even just performing week after week after week, just, like, what? I don't know, for money revenue. I just think, like, fans, they just stay patient, hopefully enough. I think the NFL will be back on full schedule in the fall, so will college football. And we'll see how that process goes, but just give the players, like, a much-needed rest, like, during this whole pandemic. And just stay patient. Like, it's a scary time for the world, in the world right now. And I don't think, like, players would, like, risk it for, like, just one ring.
Yeah. I'm not even sure about there being NFL or college football this season. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think, honestly, I think that, you know, we're all being, you know, a little trigger happy with trying to get back out there when, in all actuality, like, I feel like there is a lot more risk in rushing this process. And, you know, it's and also the thing is that you have to consider is the fact that, okay, let's say that you wanted to, you know, start back up with football season and you wanted to start up with college football season. Let's say you wanted to start back up with, you know, opening up college dorms and letting kids come back in. It's like, okay, with the second that one of these places, the second that you have a case, then everything has to get shut down again. So it's I honestly don't see this really playing out like how people think that it will, unless until they get the vaccine. So it's like, and by all accounts, it seems as though the vaccine won't be around until at the very earliest, like later this year. So I think that it's very ambitious for people to think that, you know, that the sports professional leagues will be able to get back out there. But, you know, I think that we can all hope and dream. And, you know, a part of running a business is being, you know, prepared for, you know, all outcomes. So, of course, the NBA is going to, you know, put together a plan in place to try to see if they can do it. Like, it would be negligent of them to not have a plan in place. But, I mean, my prediction, I ultimately don't think that there will be a 2020 NBA champion crowned. And so I think that, you know, like you said, I think getting back and getting focused for next season will probably be the best bet for everybody at this point.
A fun fact that is found out, I think, like, every time a Toronto team has won a championship, the following season, this MLB team in the next season, they won a championship, the next season, the season get canceled. The 93 Toronto Blue Jays, they won the World Series. 94, the season gets canceled. The 2019 Toronto Raptors won the championship. Then this NBC could get canceled. Like, it's weird how history works out. Like, it's so weird, really, to me.
Yeah, no, it's really definitely weird. You know, I feel like a lot of people are into the whole numerology now. I didn't know that was a thing until Kobe Bryant passed away. Shout out to Kobe Bryant. But a lot of people are into.
I miss him too.
People are really into signs and numbers and things of that nature. So, you know, if that's any indication, I think that, you know, I think we should all be getting used to Toronto being the champions for at least another year. So
I think Toronto fans would be happy with it. At least they get bragging rights.
Exactly. They're still the champ. So, yeah. I wouldn't even be mad at them. Yeah. But, Fem, I wanted to take a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I wanted to look ahead. If there aren't going to be any games played, you know, there still will be off-season transactions. And the biggest one would have to be the NBA draft. I wanted to, on the other side of this break, just talk about a couple of guys that, you know, you found to be intriguing in this draft process, and who do you think the Wizards should be looking at? All right, now, Fim, I wanted to get into some draft talk right here. So right now the Wizards are currently in the ninth slot according to the reverse draft standings, the reverse order of the standings. So that's the draft order, and that would put them in the same exact spot that they were in last year. But, you know, we're forgetting that the draft lottery still has to happen. So, you know, with them being in the ninth slot, they would still have a 20% chance of getting a top four pick and a 4.5% chance of getting the number one overall pick. But who are some of the guys that you think that would be worthy candidates to, you know, go at the top of the draft? And who are some of the guys that you think, if the Wizards, let's say they didn't move up or down at all and they were to pick at nine, who are some of the guys that you think would be a good fit for the Wizards in that, you know, that 8, 9, 10 range?
Hopefully we don't end up in the 8, 9, 10 range. I think we might end up being on the top 5 pick, but I think I've been focusing on the top 5 in total. So my top 3 players are Yonke Okongwu from USC, LaMelo Ball, obviously, you know him, and Anthony Edwards, star from Georgia, and Wiseman from he was supposed to play in Memphis, but you obviously know what happened. I feel like the biggest thing for Wizards right now is to get a center. I feel Thomas Bryant, he is solid, but he hasn't been like has lived with that expectation of being like a core piece center that we need on a team. I feel like Ngwanke, Wiseman could be that game changer for us at the center position. And the reason why I said about Ball and Edwards is I don't know about Beal's future in the Wizards. I know he said a couple of times that he wants to be a Wizard for life, which I get. Like, most players say that, but they end up getting, like, shipped or traded. I feel like with Beal's, like, Beal, like, upcoming contract, like, he's going to get it. I think it's going to be all NBA. And he's going to want, like, a bigger contract in the future. I just feel like the Wizards, they might end up trading him to get, like, more draft value, get more draft picks, and they need, like, replacement at Beal's spot. I feel like they could build a team around Rui and whoever it is, Ball or Edwards. Just somebody they can, like, build a future off of, and just that's all I had to say. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, well, I'll combat that a little bit. I'll tell you this right now. They're not trading Bradley Beal this offseason. I think that I mean, this is me reporting that they're not. That's not going to happen. Like I think that if you read between the lines and you listen to everything that Ted Leonsis has said, and you listen to everything that Tommy Shepard has said, that their plan, and they're not like shying away from this. The plan is to re-up and run it back, like with Wall and Beal. And so
I get that.
I think that people, you know, suggesting that they trade Beal or they do this, like, that's not going to happen. Like, they have a plan in place as to what they're going to do. And until they're proven that that plan isn't going to work, then they're going to stick with that. So their plan right now being is that, you know, they're going to run back the Wall and Beal combo. And so they're going to try their best to build around those two players. And so when you look at what the Wizards will be looking at in the draft, you know, when you look at the fact that, okay, they have Wall and Beal, and then, you know, their intention is to sign Davis Bertans, even though he's an unrestricted free agent. But I think that there's a very good chance that he will re-sign in D.C. So then you're looking at, okay, then you have a core of four players then. You have Rui, Bertans, Wall, and Beal. And so the one common denominator between all those players is that they're all very good offensive players, and none of them is a good defensive player. Wall used to be at one point, but, you know, who knows what he'll be when he comes back from his injury, and he kind of stopped playing defense his last two seasons of playing anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, so I think that when looking at what the Wizards need, I think that they need a defensive player, and that's why Onyeka Okongwu from USC, I think that, you know, if he's there, he's a player that's in that nine range, Okongwu or Okoro from Auburn, I think that those are two guys who are primary defenders. Okoro is a wing player, and so that is a guy who – who will be able to come in. He'll probably take a little bit more time to develop. But Okongwu, like, I mean, this dude is, like, he kind of, you know, he reminds me of a lot of Bam Adebayo. And the fact that, you know, he's not the most physically imposing player. Like, you know, he's really only, like, 6'9". But, you know, he's got a nice wingspan, and he just has a great feel for the game. And so you're looking at a guy as in his freshman year at USC who averaged 19 and 10. You know, that the productivity is there, the wingspan is there, the feel for the game is there, the defensive first nature is there. I think that, you know, he would be a perfect fit for this Wizards team. But I also like the fact that for a team like the Wizards who are kind of deprived of talent, I think that they could also be in a position where they should consider just taking the best available player, regardless of position. And so some of the other guys that I think that they should be considering, that I know that Tommy Shepard is going to be considering, is Denny Avdija from he plays Maccabi Tel Aviv. He's a young, small forward prospect, 6'9". He has a smooth-looking game. I like Obi Toppin. The only problem that I have with Toppin is the fact that he's 22 years old already, and so, you know, you're really banking on
that's my age,
know.
Really.
Yeah,
he's,
exactly.
He's old.
You know, this is the first time that somebody has called you old at being 22. So, But in the realm of NBA draft ages, like 22 is a bit up there. And so, you know, I think that, but if you've done your scouting and you think that Obi Toppin is the best player on the board, then, you know, the Wizards kind of, you know, they kind of have to look at all of their options. You know, I think that LaMelo Ball is probably one of the best prospects in this draft from just a pure talent standpoint.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't be upset if LaMelo Ball ended up on the Wizards. You know, in today's NBA, you can never have too many ball handlers and shooters. And so, like, to add a guy of that stature with that type of talent, I think would be a great addition for this Wizards team. Who are some of the other names of guys that you think would be good fits in Washington?
I think Yellen Smith would also be a good fit in Washington. Howell's had a great season in Maryland. Also, thinking about Precious Nwankwo. Achiuwa from Memphis, he's a freshman. He was Wiseman replacement. He's done well. And I think we might look for, like, a backup point guard or, like, a backup guard at least. Just, like, filling that role. I know Ishmael has done really well this season. Yeah, obviously after, like, Isaiah Thomas, and I don't want to talk about Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about him.
Shout out Isaiah Thomas, man. I hope
he's a great
somehow
dude.
Finds his way back in the league somehow.
Frosty, like. I can really see maybe Cole Anthony or Nico Mannion being that type of guy for us. I think we just need, like, offensive players at least. Because in this era of NBA, like, you need to be scoring at will. Like, this Wizards team, they've been scoring a lot this season, maybe, like, the past 10 years at least. You just need, like, maybe a score that can help out Wall come off the bench and provide scoring at need. But as I said before, I think center is the biggest thing on our team right now. I feel like Nwankwo or Okoro or Wiseman or Smith could be potential needs for us.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, you're raising some very valid points here. And, you know, I think that, you know, the Wizards, like I said, like, I think that, you know, with them, they're kind of in a bind here because they're going into this with a very limited strategy because, you know, they don't have the option of, you know, saying, oh, we're going to trade Bill, or we're going to, you know, stock up on picks, or we're going to do this. Like, you know, they've kind of pigeonholed themselves into this path. And so, you know, however this plays out will kind of determine, you know, the future of the Wizards going forward. And so, you know, this draft is going to be very, very important for them. And so, you know, I think that when you look at what Tommy Shepard has done so far in his first year as the GM, you know, with them drafting Rui Hachimura, I think that, you know, a lot of people who were upset about the pick on draft night you were in the boat.
I was upset. I wanted Cam Reddish. I felt like if you get him, I'll be happy. But I was like, Rui, who? I thought it was like one of those. Because being a Wizards fan for 6 years, you know all about Ernie Grunfeld. You know his draft history. He loves foreign players. Jan Vesely. I think we drafted, like, this kid last year, Ifan Sutton. Like, we already traded, like, a few months back. Like, he always had all these European players, international players. And Rui Hachimura, like, I was like, really, why him? And I kind of got, like, a little bit upset that he compared him to Kawhi. I was like, okay, now he just, like... The ship is sinking already. Come on now, but he's really having a great rookie season. I feel like he's going to be a star in the league. So I trust Tommy's input in the draft. As I said before, I think we just need to draft in needs that like best player available. But if that happens, if we get like a first overall pick. We can just do something with it, so, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think Rui definitely will probably be on, you know, one of the all-rookie teams. If I had to predict, I'd say he probably would make second-team all-rookie, which is good, especially for, you know, considering that, you know, not a lot of people were fans of the pick to begin with. But, you know, I think that he has a lot of potential to, you know, definitely develop into something. You know, who knows what that ceiling is, but, you know, it's certainly something. And so I think that, you know, when we start talking about, you know, Rui making, you know, second team all rookie, I think that's a good transition to talk about what do we think is going to happen with the all NBA teams, and more specifically, will Bradley Beal be on one of those all NBA teams? So I want to take my last break here. And on the other side of that break, I want to dive into Bradley Beal's all NBA case. All right, now, Finn, man, we're gonna dive into a topic that I know a lot of Wizards fans were very interested in talking about before the league was suspended. And I'm not gonna lie, I think that the league being suspended actually kind of helps Bradley Beal in this situation. What do you think is gonna end up happening with the all NBA teams? And do you think Bradley Beal is gonna end up sneaking his way onto one of those teams?
I feel he will. I think he's gonna make either second team or third team. To be honest, I wasn't that surprised to make an All-Star team. I wasn't even that mad, because obviously the Wizards, they weren't the best team in the league. And plus, like, you gotta look at popularity. The All-Star game is a popularity contest. Obviously, you have, like, guys like Trae Young, who, even though he has, like, a worse record than Beal, but he made it All-Star because of popularity. And all these younger guys got in as well, too. Bam Adebayo, who else did? Luka Doncic. So he didn't get a chance to make an All-Star team, but I feel like he's had one of the best seasons for a shooting guard yet alone. Like, post All-Star break, he had, like, those 50-point games. I think it was, like three straight 50-point games. Am I right? Or
no, two straight 50-point games.
Yeah.
I think he had, like 16 straight games of 25 points or more.
Yeah.
You know, he was putting up some ridiculous numbers there.
And I think of, like, the last player to ever do that, cast two straight 50-point games back-to-back, was Kobe in 07, which is, like, in – where he put himself in history in that season alone. And he just been great. I think he kind of, like, slacked a little bit. Like, there's a point where he was, like, playing sluggishly. But before the suspended – for the league got suspended, he was playing his best ball. And I don't think, like, he'll get, like, snubbed for an All-NBA team. Like, he should get in at least a second team or third team. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, no, I think that he'll probably be on that. I'd say he's a third team All-NBA player. And for me, when you look at – so you look at, okay, the teams, they have them divided up into, you know, guards, two forwards, and a center on each team. So that means there's really only six guard spots. And so for me, I'm looking at James Harden and Luka Doncic as the two guys that are going to be on first team. And then for me, I would say that Russell Westbrook and probably either Damian Lillard will probably be my second team guys. And then after that, I think that, you know, I like Chris Paul as a guy who, you know, should definitely be making.
He's having a redemption season.
Yeah, for sure. And then after that, I think that there's a major drop-off. And I think that, you know, Beal, and especially considering the fact that, you know, that the way that the season ended, or the way that, you know, if you look at the stretch of games, like, right before the season was suspended. And so you look at the fact that the teams may not even be able to come back and play regular season games after this. And if you had to go just off of the resumes that, you know, they've built so far, I think that, you know, when you look at Washington being, you know, as the ninth seed in the Eastern Conference, and with Bill averaging 30 points a game for the season, and, you know, especially with the tear of points and how he was getting those points, you know, I think that, you know, he has a very valid case over, you know, guys that made the All-Star team in front of him. You know, guys like Trae Young or guys like Kemba Walker or Kyle Lowry. You know, these guys that made All-Star teams that in front of Bill. But I think that what he did from, you know, post-All-Star until, you know, the season was suspended is more than enough to, you know, leapfrog some of those other names that I'm mentioning.
Yeah, I just think, like, even I could see him jumping from the second spot, like the second All-NBA team, over Westbrook. I don't know if Westbrook's having that good of a season. Like, the Rockets, they've been struggling this season alone. And I think the good debate you have on Beal is that even the Wizards not that good this year, they're still ninth place in the Eastern Conference. I think that just tells you the Eastern Conference is awful. Plus, the Wizards, a lot of people thought the Wizards are going to be, like, the worst team in the league. And I think they're, like, at 20 wins, 22 wins at least. I think, am I right? 22 wins or 23,
20? Yeah, but the Wizards, let me look it up real quick. I believe they had 22 wins. It's been, you know, a month ago, I would be able to tell you this, like it was that, because I'm just looking at this
stuff
every day.
Yeah, they had 24. They had 24. They had
24 wins?
24-40.
Yeah.
They play 64 games right now. But, yeah, I just see Beal just making the second team over Westbrook. I think Beal's just have like a great season alone. And I feel like at the same time, he's proving that he can lead a team. I mean, because winning, like, without John Wall, like, you know, the team will struggle. But, you know, just carrying this team to the point where they are, like, in a playoff conversation a little bit, I think that has to be considered him making an All-NBA team. I could see him maybe being the second team or third team. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think we're both on the same page here that, you know, that Wizards fans will be happy when the All-NBA teams are announced.
Even for Bill, like, you get that extra payday if he makes an All-NBA team.
Well, you know what, man? I actually had some conversations with some people about it. Because he signed his extension,
oh, yeah, true.
He will not be getting an extra payday. So, yeah, so sometimes you got to bet on yourself, kiddo. Yeah, but I wanted to finish up with a very lighthearted topic, and I wanted to just get your opinion as a guy who is a lifelong Bullets-sized Wizards fan. What would you say has been your favorite Wizards team over the last decade? Now, you know, we're in 2020, we're entering a new decade, but over that last decade, what was your favorite Wizards team? What was the best season? Or not even the best season, what was your favorite season? Like, the season that you enjoyed watching and following the most?
I would say this. Can't say the last decade. Obviously, if, like, the first 5 years of this decade, the last decade, we definitely sucked. But I'll say 2014, 2015 was my favorite season as well, because that was such an interesting cast of players. I could say, like, maybe, like, 10 of them right now. Raymond Sessions, John Wall, Beal, Bradley Beal, Marcin Gortat, Nene, Otto Porter, Rasul Butler.
Paul Pierce, man. Like,
Paul Pierce, DeJuan Blair. Who else? Kevin Serafin. It's been a long time, so.
Yeah. That's also my favorite team, too, man. It's crazy that, yeah, we're kind of locked in on this one, because that 2014-15 Wizards team is my favorite because, all right, like you said, the first half of the decade, the franchise sucked.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that 2014 playoff run was kind of like found money a little bit. It's like, okay, you know, they snuck up on the Bulls, but the Bulls didn't have Derrick Rose.
I mean,
so, you know, they kind of.
But if Derrick Rose played that series, I think we still would have won. Like, you come off of a major injury. I don't know he was still that D Rose. Like,
I
know he was still that D Rose.
I think, but really, to me, it's not even about whether like they would have won the series or not. It was just the fact that that team really kind of snuck up on people, and so they were never really going to like kind of be in the mix for trying to make it to the conference finals or they were just playing their hearts out. Now that second team though. That second year when they brought in Paul Pierce, that was my favorite team just because of the dynamic that Pierce brought, not only on the floor, but, like, in the locker room. And so what we ended up seeing happening with that Wizards team, in that next season and the season that ultimately got Randy Whitman fired, and then even, in the 2017 and 2018 years where, they were kind of, like, disappointing with their expectations rising, the 2015 team, that team really, kind of outperformed their expectations, but they had a leader. They had a guy who could, command attention within the locker room to demand that, everybody, come to work every day, that, there was a semblance of excellence that Paul Pierce brought to the franchise that I don't think that this team, with John Wall and Bradley Beal leading them, had before or after that Pierce year. And I think that, they had a mental toughness that year that literally, and I will always contend that, John Wall didn't break his hand in that Atlanta Hawks series, that they would have gone to the conference finals. Did that mean that Hawks team had no answer for the Wizards? Like,
they were just made up of, like, all these journey guys. Hal Horford, he's like the most boring player ever. But he always ends up crushing Wizards every time he plays us. Like, I don't get that. Jeff Teague, he's just like a jag point guard. Kyle Korver had like this amazing season. He had like 90, 50, and 40. He made an all-star team. Congrats. Like, good for him. What was his name? I know it was Paul Millsap, like, another guy. And who else was there? Who was their small forward on that team?
The small forward on that team was DeMar Carroll.
I was going to say Taurean Prince, but
no,
DeMar Carroll.
Taurean Prince didn't, he was drafted in 2015. He was in the same draft as Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, but DeMar Carroll as well, it was just, like, made of this, like, these gags, like, these guys, really. And I thought you should have beaten them in six games. I remember the series, game three, Paul, the shot, Paul Pierce.
Yeah. Did you call bank?
I called game. Like,
I called game. Like, yo, Pierce.
And that series alone pissed me off a little bit because game five,
they lost Al Horford put back.
And Nene was like staring at that shit, at that ball, like.
Well, he didn't box out.
Yeah.
He didn't box out, and all you see is Al Horford jumping over his back, pushing Nene on the ground. First of all, I'm not saying it like it should have been a foul. It wasn't a foul.
Yeah.
Nene just needed to be tougher. Get your big ass up. Put a body on him.
Yeah, like he was choking the shit out of Jimmy Butler like a year prior. Now he can't even box out for a rebound. That's the thing that like ticked me off a little bit. I know Pierce had like a near game winning shot. It rolled off the rim. I was like, damn, you losing the series, because that was like Wall's first game back after that injury.
I was gonna say you got to remember that game six. Back at Verizon Center, that game, Wizards were down three, and Paul Pierce hit a three that everybody thought was turning into overtime, and the ball was literally on. I've never seen, like, it cannot be, like, physically closer as far as, like, him getting it
and
off. Like, it was like a millisecond. Like, like his fingertip was
–
yeah. I mean, I say this is one of those things where if there was no replay, that would have been good. Like 20 years ago with no replay, that was a good shot, right? But once you saw it, because they ruled it good on the court.
Yeah.
But once they went back and they saw it, they saw that his, like, finger was still barely touching it. Oh, man.
That's why you only answer replay NBA. Like, that's for the NFL, because it's a game of downs. Like, NBA, if you make the shot, regardless. Like, If I see the ball up in the air with 0.0 seconds on the clock, it's a shot. Like, you don't need like, to magnify, like, the player had, like, the ball in his hands or the fingers, like, on the ball. Like, you made a shot. Like, there's no – I just killed the whole instant replay because it's been bad luck for us. But I'll say the positives about that season alone. I think that Orlando game earlier in the season where Beal had, like, that game-winning shot, that was fun. Wall getting his first All-Star start that season alone. He was all-defensive team. And also, that was, like, the season where Wall had that game for that girl Maya after her passing. We had, like, 33 points and, like, 17 assists. I'm like, hopefully I'm correct. That was really a great game against the Celtics. He poured it all on the court. His interview still gets to me today. And that series against Toronto was so fun. Because Toronto, they beat us throughout the whole regular season. They swept us. And I was thinking, like, this team is not better than us. Game one in Toronto, Pierce had, like, Pierce's money in game one, hitting every shot, talking mad shit to my son, Udry, all game. And game two, that was one of my favorite Wall games, 26-17. If you watch the highlights from that game, like, he was just commanding on both ends of the floor. Both ends. Then there was game three. I think DeRozan had, like, 20 points in the first quarter alone. Then Otto Porter, a young Otto Porter. Like, we don't know anything about him. I think he strapped DeRozan all game. He won game three. Then game four, that was just fun. Like, just seeing fans with their brooms and everything. Sweeping each other like all throughout VC. It was a great series, and I feel like that team alone was just so fun because there was like all these guys on that team that like were like vets, but they brought like their own flavor. Like Rasul Butler, like rest in peace to him. He was great all throughout the season. Social Ron Sessions, Andre Miller, obviously. Like there's just too many. It was a team that was, like, built off of, like, this union, like, unionship or, like, camaraderie. And I think we still need that, but that team's just special to me. Because that season alone, like, I feel like we could have been in the conference finals if it wasn't for Wall's injury. Because he was having a great playoff.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And so, you know, I'm glad that we're on the same page there with that being – the most exciting Wizards team over the last decade. But, Finn, man, I want to thank you for coming on and, you know, just chopping it up with me, man. Like I said, I've always been a big fan of you and all the things that you talk about on social media.
Thank you. As I
do with all of my guests, I want to give you this opportunity to kind of plug yourself and let the people know where they can find you on social media and let the people know that if you have anything that you're working on right now.
So, you can follow me on Twitter at Ola Femion Ocean. I can spell it out if I can. OlaFimiHanOshin. I think Troy will plug it when he posts this, so hopefully he does. I also have my own football blog, Four Verticals. All we do there is just post, like, all these old highlights of players. It's been a great blog. It's been like my baby for the past 3 years. I'm proud of it. You can also follow at @4verticals_. I also just posted a piece that I did about this kid in Baltimore. His name is Kenny Johnson. He actually committed to Bowie State University just this January. He plays tackle. He played tackle for Mervo Mustangs. They went undefeated in Baltimore City, almost made it to the championship round. If you get to read my story about him, he grew up in homeless shelters, living in cars before just getting a chance to play football. And he started playing football at the age of, like, in ninth grade. So, like, 4 years later, now he gets, like, a chance to be in a scholarship and play football for, like, a really good team Bowie State. So if you have the time to read it, please do. But yeah, should I just put my Instagram or anything else? That's all.
Yeah, man. Plug whatever you want to plug. It's your time, man. Like.
Also, follow me on Instagram at OLFMANOcean as well if you had a chance to. That's all I had to say. Yeah. But please read that story, though.
Yeah, no, that's what's up, man. Yeah, everybody go out there, give Fem a follow. He's, like I said, when it comes to people who are, you know, very upfront and honest about, you know, things that are going on, not just in the sports world, but, you know, in hip-hop or movies or television shows or, you know, everything else that's pop culture related, you know, Fem, he's out there, he's got an opinion on it. So, and for a guy who's super young, he has a good taste in old school hip-hop, so... You know,
yeah, I get it from my dad, unfortunately. I feel like I'll be different because I'm not a big fan of like most of these rappers out right now. Maybe like, I like the Travis Scott's, and like, I like the Travis Scott's, J. Cole's, Kendrick's, but like the Young Pumps, like what's his name? YM Melly?
YMW Melly, NBA Youngboy, you ain't a fan of none of those dudes.
I like NBA Youngboy, but like, I kind of listen to the old school because I appreciate it more. Like, I feel like just like today's hip hop, just like more just, you know, glorifying, talking like. Now I sound like old person now, but when it was like old school hip hop, like it would just change your whole opinion about everything. So yeah.
Yeah, man, get off of Fem's lawn, even though he's still young. But yeah, man, I want to again thank you for coming on and. You know, let me know if you got any trouble with any of these MAGA people in the convention. We get them up out of there.
I think it's quiet now. It's quiet.
That's good, man. Well, shoot, like I said, man, thank you for coming on, man. And we'll have to do this again next time, man. I want you to, you and everybody else that's listening out there to stay safe and stay your ass at home.
Appreciate it, Troy.
All right, Phil.
Like Gilbert Arenas. Now I'm chilling back, giving advice. I buy my girl shit, it don't matter the price. They see that I'm taking, they try getting past. Label money, I just tell in advance. I ain't cheating, I'm just trying to dance. She just trying to have me up in the trance. I'm in a struggle like fuck it. They just trying to make some buckets. Love when I slapped on my ones, but it bounced like a ball when I struck it. So if you ever see a real nigga like me, just let them live and just be how it be. Go to the club with them two in your seat. With a J, we be on the same team. I want a baller like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blowing on the net, girl showing shots for the team. I was in high school dreams, now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean, coach all these girls to a ring. I want a ball, I like the Wizards, yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blowing on the net, girl showing shots for the team. I was in high school dreams, now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean, coach all these girls to a ring.